What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, get ready for the toastiest podcast you've ever heard in politics, society, and culture. We cover it all here on the Toasty Podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to join the revolution, hit the follow or subscribe button and make sure you select yes to our notifications so you know when a brand new Toasty episode comes out. After that, tell your friends. Sharing the show is literally what makes this show grow. We don't use flyers and we don't use sponsors. This is the home of the independent thinkers on a mission. Once again, guys, thanks for listening and be sure to follow us on Instagram at toasty.podcast for more great content from the creators of the show. Let's get toasty.
Can you say something for me real quick, Sky, just to make sure I have you on the air?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Sky.
Sounds good. All right. Hello, everyone. This is WRIU 90.3, and I'm your host, Bill Trofesky. Now, for a lot of you, this is definitely the first time you've been listening to my voice, unless you follow my podcast. I recently moved to the area, and I'm excited to continue the show here. Today's going to be a very different episode than what I usually do. Good test run with the new station, but if you want to check out my show, go to podcasttheway.com. Very, very proud of it. I sit down, I talk to the experts. If you've listened to Darknet Diaries, I had the host on the other day, researchers, artists, journalists, people who know their stuff. I have them on the show to talk about the stuff because if anybody knows it, it's them, podcasttheway.com. But today's going to be very different. I'm having my friend from the Toasty Podcast, Sky, on the radio with me today. We're going to record an episode. And if it sounds odd or it sounds weird or connection is odd, it's the first time streaming, so got some slack.
Heck yeah, right, man. Test run, you know what I mean? Test run.
So I think we're all good. Sky, do you want to introduce yourself for the audience?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm Sky. I'm from the Toasty Podcast. We run our show off the air because live is normally very scary, if you will. But besides that, guys, you can check me out at The Real Sky Day on all podcast platforms, social media, and everywhere in between, and the Toasty Podcast as well.
The one thing about COVID is the radio stations were closed for the past year and a half. So I sort of got so used to recording in my own at-home setup, editing it, fine-tuning all the mistakes, all the errors, and then uploading it to the radio. And people are tuning in, listening, like, wow, he's doing a great job. I'm like, you don't see the errors I crop out with Adobe. That's a good few hours.
Dude, it takes forever. Post-processing takes forever on a podcast. But what I'll say is the more you do podcasting, the better you get at not being able or not having to edit. Like, that was one of my rules when I first started. Edit less, you know? Edit less, and then at the end of it, you can end up with a better product, and you don't have to always edit your mistakes and your voice and all that crap. You know what I mean? And then, honestly, it just preps me for radio, I guess, in a way. That's all it really does. But you're going head first, radio first, you know? That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's true. I did the radio before even podcasting because it's the same thing. Why not just combine the two?
Right. Yeah. And one question I have though is like, how do you get started in that? Like you're renting a space or how do you just go be on a show, go be on a radio show? Like right now we're on 90.3, right?
Yes.
How do you choose that slot and do it?
Well, it's a public radio station. So honestly, anybody can join it. You just have to go through the training. So for me, it was Connecticut, very similar. I went through the training process. That took a few months. They gave me the rundown of the setup, how to speak properly, all the generic things you can think of.
Is that like FEC or whatever? What is it? FCC guidelines or something?
Oh, FEC. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a radio show in Connecticut, my last live one there the other day.
Yeah.
And then at the end, my friends wanted to plug, like say, oh, check out my cousin rapper or check out my farm that we saw in Montana and all that. And I had to keep cutting them off saying like, hey, you can't tell because of the FEC, you can't tell people to go check it out or you can't follow or you can't be, I forget the proper term, but you can't give people a call to action. You just have to say, oh, my friend is a rapper or, oh, this is the thing. You can't say, go check this thing out. I had to cut them off like four times. Yeah.
On the radio, you can't do that?
Yeah, you can't. Like, when I say the podcastaway.com, I say like go to podcastaway.com if you want to like see more. Like, I'm not saying go listen to this good podcastaway.com. I'm not saying like, oh, it's
okay,
good.
So or, whenever I just said, go check me out if you want to on social media, is that that's bad?
Because if you'd like to, that's what saved you. Yeah.
Interesting. If you'd like to. Okay. Yeah, guys, if you're listening right now, I apologize. I am not radio savvy. So when it comes down to this stuff, he's the guy, you know, Bill is the guy. So anyway.
And I have to double check, but after 10 o'clock, at least in Connecticut, anything goes. Like, you can swear, you can talk about whatever, but wow, I got to double like, check the same as here. Like still 9:30.
Adult Swim, you know, growing up, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim.
Oh, I remember being a kid and Adult Swim would go on. Yeah. And I used to think, feel like I was breaking the law because it would be on at midnight.
Yeah, dude. It's like everything's dark outside. Normally, honestly, your mom or parents didn't know you were watching it. So that is kind of how that went. That's hilarious, dude. God. So anyway, but going back to your like, you're getting into radio type thing. After that, you're still paying for the spot. Is it like monthly or what?
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, actually, first. The streaming, for people listening, the streaming, again, it's very different than in studio. So if it sounds like you only hear one voice, please call in at 874-2493. Just want to double check that. But no, I don't pay. It's a public radio station.
Okay. So when you said public, you meant literally you can go up and get your own spot just like that.
Yeah. You just have to go through a bit of training. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you pay for the training?
No.
Dude, what am I doing? Holy cow.
Yeah, I recommend it to
dude, like the Toasty Podcast is about to be on the radio. There's no way, dude. This is crazy, man. I didn't know that. But how about like whenever the listeners what about ads? Like, what do you do for that? You know, is it like the same 15-minute segments you do or what? What do you do? Not really.
The one in Connecticut it's a nonprofit, so there is no ads. But so this one I have to double check. I think it does have ads. But okay. Yeah, the one Connecticut at least was like nonprofit.
Nonprofit only. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Man, that's crazy, dude.
I know.
So you were in Connecticut. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, so it's been I think like a good year since I was on your show. And a lot happens over time. A lot of podcasts, like 70% burnout. You've probably heard of PodFade. Yeah. And you're one of the ones that's still going. Like, what happened or what changed since then?
So I knew that going in to podcasting, and my goal with podcasting is not the normal goal. So, you know, whenever people start a podcast right now, especially it's almost exclusively a money grab. You know what I mean? And I'll say, yeah, of course they have a hobby and they want to talk about it and that's fine, but it's either a very, very minor hobby and that's why they fall off because they don't really care that much about it. Or it's something they're really trying to make money on and they lose their content quality because of that. You know what I mean?
I don't understand that too, because there's really not much money in podcasting unless you're already like, you have some backing or something. Like, I don't get that.
So my goal with podcasting was not just to start or stop with one podcast. It was to create my podcast, create the brand, create the media company, which I've already created an LLC for that, and go from there, if that makes sense. And the whole mission statement for my business is to basically empower those to think for themselves. And that's it, bottom line. And so that's why I ended up having a podcast about politics, because well, if I'm honest, you know, everything, you know, has politics in it, whether it's sports, whether it's apparently health now, fitness, you know, and of course, actual politics, you know, politicians and the government. But when it comes down to it, people are being fed things or seeing things more and more because information is insane right now. It's just everywhere. And it's a lot easier for us to have a downfall of society. So it's a lot more important that we have people that can go and speak out and be pillars in that society. So if my media company can do that, that's what we're going to do, man.
I'll bring it back to that idea of what your mission is, but quick, is that a paradox when you tell people how to think that you want them to think freely?
Right. It is. And I'm not empowering those to think independently. I'm not telling them to think a certain way. I'm showing them that there are other ways to think.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense? So like, think about it this way. I grew up in a small town in Texas, and you know, in Texas, you can imagine what it's going to be when you grow up in a small town. It's going to be, you are a Christian, you are Republican, and you are, you know, going to do the right things. You're going to hunt and you're going to do all these things, right? Oh, there's like the, you know, just the common things you would think of a Southerner or whatever. And if you grow up in that like aspect or whatever of life, or however you want to call it, if you grow up that way and you never know anything else or never see anything else, it's basically, you're not cultured, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're still not really thinking independently, even though you are thinking individually, right?
Yeah.
If you see all these other things and you're cultured in some way, and then you're like, oh, okay, so I pick this out of there, I pick that, that part of culture for me, I pick this other thing over here for me. Like, you're basically putting together yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
People do that automatically almost.
Yeah. It's sort of a balance, because like what you're talking about is critical thinking, and everybody should critical think. And but at the same time, everybody says everybody should critical think, yet we're all still in our own bubbles and our own social groups, and we're all like cutting off their bad, we're bad.
Yes, echo chambers for sure. You're right.
Yeah, it's like, you should critical think. It's like, wait, I'm in an echo chamber too, but we all think we're right too, which is why we don't leave our echo chambers. Like, you don't want to be told you're wrong constantly, because that's miserable.
Right. And I will say that might be another reason podcasts fail, because you're constantly told you're doing something wrong, or you're not going to make it or do it right, or whatever, you know, what it's just how it is. It's the same thing for being a musician or any of that stuff, you know. And I've been told I'm wrong, you know, very consistently. Obviously I'm told I'm wrong, and that's fine. Now I always tell them, hey, you know, maybe I am, but give me your counter and let's talk about it. I want to talk about this, you know, for sure. And while I might like have this one almost specific view, my co-host definitely is way more based, if you will. And I'm kind of the guy that's like kind of fluid, I guess. Like, if you show me an idea and I like it a lot, like, let's throw out some random thing. Universal basic income, right? Okay. Yeah. The general idea, not so great. But like, if they were to do certain things to make it work, I don't want to go into detail on the show, but it could work some way, right? And I like hearing people tell me, hey, this is what I think, this is how it could work, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And telling me how they're going to implement that, that's great. Tell me that. I want to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's their critical thinking. They're critical thinking because they're thinking about, how are you going to implement it? It's not some guy getting on Twitter and tweeting, you know, sandwiches should be free. And that's bottom line. That's vague. That's vague AF, dude. There's no way you can, you know what I mean? That's crazy. Yeah.
I also know that one thing I hate is like, there's a lot of problems with America, but then either side, if you propose an idea, people are like, oh, that's miserable, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, well, at least it's an idea. At least like, let's see if it actually pays off.
Right.
Like, everybody should do a backflip every day. Like, I don't know if it's a good idea, but at least if you have something behind it and you propose something behind it, that's better than nothing, I'd say.
No, for sure. It's a complaint with a solution, or a problem with a solution that you're posing, versus let's just post these problems and let people be further divided.
And also, UBI, that makes me think of Andrew Yang. And did you see
Yang, let's go.
Oh, there you go. Did you see the article where he wants to start a new third party?
I did see that, and it's very interesting. I didn't read all of it. I think he's actually grasping at straws, unfortunately, even though that sounds like a cool idea. It's just like, you know, Trump even mentioned, I'm going to start my own Patriot Party or whatever. Come on, dude. That's not going to happen. You're not going to do it. It's going to be all extreme right-leaning people that you gather for no reason, you know?
And if anybody ever creates that party, like left-wing, then you're splitting the Democratic vote, and right-wing, then you're splitting the Republican vote. So it just hands the other side the election. That's like the argument against it.
That's the argument against it. And it's not, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's a good argument. You know, I mean, it is the, okay, hold on. Let me rephrase. It's the right argument. It is how it happens. But why, I would ask, why can't we change that? Right. And you're like, because they push out Libertarian Party. They push out all these other parties, you know, these left-leaning ideologies that aren't Democratic. They push them out. Right-leaning Republican parties that are probably have conservative views and aren't rhinos. They push those out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what are you left with? You're left with two, and it sucks, man. I just did an episode on the Toasty podcast about that, dude. It was basically, what party are you? But I wanted to talk more about the nuances, because people don't always talk about that on the political spectrum. You know, it's not just one size fits all, dude. That's not how it works.
Didn't you post something on social media like, what are your ideas without saying your party, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, I did post something that was like, do you want less government control or more government control? It was literally the basic bare bones question that you ask to decide kind of which side you end up leaning on. That's all it is.
All right. So, I was thinking of something different, but okay.
Oh, okay. That. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
But also one more thing about like the Libertarian and like Republican Party, like sort of one pushing each other out. I was in Colorado, and there's this town called Rifle, Colorado. And in that funnily named Rifle, Colorado, there's this restaurant diner, and the theme is that all the waitresses have guns, so they like all open carry, and it's a like,
wow,
the local congresswoman owns the shop, and when you walk in, it's a pure like Donald Trump. For people listening, I'm not going to say what my political ideology is, but it's all Donald Trump. It's all like MAGA, Libertarian, guns on the wall, the most right wing thing you would think of.
Oh, and, my gosh.
Yeah. And because I was there, I asked the waitress, I'm like, so I'm seeing a lot of Libertarian posters and like free gun stuff and all that. What do you think of Libertarians since you guys are Republican? And she had two things. One, she says, oh, well, no, we're definitely Republican here. And two, which I found like hilarious, she goes, we're also not too political here.
What? See, yeah. That's what I'm talking about whenever I say, you know, you can't really get out of politics now. I don't think there's a way, man. I mean, if you live your life at home, and then you go to work, and then you go home, and you just do that cycle all the time, you might be able to avoid it somehow. And you don't watch the news at all, and you like stay out of social media, and like, but then what are you doing? You're secluding yourself from society in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, well, look, my whole goal is to just show people like how important politics are, not necessarily to go crazy. I don't want everyone being a Ben Shapiro out here. He's divisive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if we want to change something, what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah. It's a first off, like I recently did a trip, and that trip, I did not see any news. I didn't see anything.
Oh yeah. You told me, dude, you freaking toured America, man.
Yeah. I was on America for 5 weeks, and like ignorance is bliss, because like it feels irresponsible, because like, well, no, I should like be up to date and know who to vote for, or like who to even support. But man, like that whole trip, it's like my mind's free. And then I come back and, oh, wait, what's this? There's a new Delta variant COVID and everything is happening. And oh, it's all hectic again. Oh, great. Just what I missed.
That's interesting, man. I posted about that actually, basically asking people if they would know about COVID if it weren't for the mainstream media bringing it up almost every day, if not hourly. And a lot of them said, yes, they would, because they're in a hospital. Okay, great. Yeah. Everyone else was like, nah, not really. I probably wouldn't hear about it. You know what I mean? Like your family member might get sick and you'd be like, dang, dude, what's going on here? You know? And in rare cases, not rare cases, I can't say rare cases. In a lot of cases, they may die, and that sucks. And I get that. But the bottom line is media plays the biggest role in, like, you know, we need to show people, right? So when you're out here and you're touring America, dude, of course it's bliss, man. And I would love, sometimes I just want to get a van, you know, transit van or whatever, and, you know, van down by the river. You know what I mean? What were you in? What did you use to tour America?
I highly recommend it. Like, it's such a like eye-opening experience. But me and my friend, we took his Volkswagen Jetta. So,
oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah, his car, it's a newer one, which helped, but we just put all our stuff in the backseat, the trunk, and we just Airbnb whenever we reached the town, or we camped a few nights.
Dude, yeah. Airbnb has changed the game, dude. Like, you know, used to, like, you're thinking, man, I got to get a hotel and there may not be a room available for some weird reason on a freaking Wednesday night. This hotel is booked. I don't understand that either, but whatever. And you wouldn't be able to find one. Airbnb, man, changed it. That's awesome, dude. That really is cool. Did you pick like certain spots or?
The day before we knew we were going to drive 7 hours. So we're like, all right, in 7 hours, we'll be in this town. So we look on the Airbnb app, we look at prices, and on average, we would split the price, but it would be like $70 a night. So 35 for me each night, like clean places, highly recommend. Yeah.
I actually am not a hotel snob. So honestly,
I wasn't until this.
Really? I haven't. What I mean is I would stay in a Motel 6 and be just fine. That's what I mean. Like I'm the guy that I'm not worried about. Unless it's absolute, like, oh my gosh, dude, this is trash. Like, you don't know, but I'm just saying, like, normally I'm like, whatever, we'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah. So, outside Memphis, we did sleep in like two or three motels. Outside Memphis was one. And my friend is very, like, he's not used to the kind of rugged areas. So we were kind of like in a ghetto area. We like right off the bat, there's some guy outside like muttering, like, no, like, I don't even know what he's saying, but he's like, just kind probably weird, like some drugs, like, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Sketchy situation.
Like, I got to go to my trunk. I'm standing a half a foot away from him because, like, I don't care. But, and like, then he like mutters something. I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm going to keep walk away now that I got my thing. So that was the last time we motel.
Dude, motels are, that's an interesting point, I guess. What'd you end up doing though? Like, give me some highlights, man, of that trip. How long did it take? You said 5 weeks?
5 weeks, yeah.
Dude.
5 weeks in a day.
5 weeks in a day. That sounds pretty quick, actually. Did you
We would drive like a good like 8 hours a day. So we would take like long drives and then, like 5 to 8.
Yeah.
But we were playing 3 to 4 weeks, and then that extra week came, and we did rush little parts here and there.
I mean, I would say, like, I mean, did you really get to experience a lot? Like, you're driving all the time, man. What the heck?
Oh, driving's like 80%, 75 to 80%, but saw plenty. Saw national parks and cities. Like, my favorite cities, New Orleans by far. That one's just wild.
I've heard many people say that. I actually haven't got to go myself, man. It sucks.
Highly recommend that one too.
How long were you there?
No, I was only there for 2 nights.
2 nights? Good. I was going to say at least more than one night, right? So you can kind of like get rested and then go out or what. You went out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Frenchman Street and I forget the name of the bigger, better one, but yeah.
Yeah, dude. All my friends are like, dude, you need to go. Oh my gosh. You know, they go crazy. New Orleans is a whole different experience. And I think it has to do with how many cultures are there. There's so much packed in right there, you know, and for the most part, it's kind of welcoming from what I've heard. So that's cool. Yeah.
It's also the capital of voodoo, which definitely adds to the, culture.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like, meeting a lot of witch doctors out there. You know what I mean? That's weird, man.
Yeah, cool, we walked into one place with like a hole in the wall. We walked inside it, and this woman's like telling us this whole story about how some famous guy named who I didn't know like died in that building, and she's got a pentagram under the rug in the back, and her sister's a witch, her brother's a ghost hunter, like all that. And that was just one shop.
Then what, like, the heck?
Yeah, the other one, my friend got a psychic reading. He was like, oh, you should do it. I'm like, I'm going to save the $100.
$100? Yeah, no, I'm good, man. I don't need that. That's crazy. Wow.
It's New Orleans. I'm open to any idea. I'm not going to say he's wrong for it, but like, I'm definitely not spending $100.
No, I mean, honestly, at that point, compare it to the spending $100 for some other experience. You know what I mean? Anything, you know, I spent $100 on a roller coaster. Okay, well, cool. You know, whatever, suit yourself. You know what I mean? if he actually figures some stuff out from that, and then like, what if, you know, I wonder if he wrote all of it down. Did he?
So he didn't write it down, but he wouldn't tell me like the details. I get it. But he told me the idea of like, oh, she said I was this kind of person. She was right. Like, I am that kind of person, and I need to. It was more like that kind of thing.
So it's interesting to me. Like, I wonder if they can pull up like signs, you know how people like follow that a lot. The, what is it? Zodiac signs, yeah, or whatever the crap, you know, you get on freaking Tinder and they're like, that's all they are. Like, seriously, dude, it's like ridiculous. Oh, I'm Gemini. Oh, I'm Cancer. Okay. Whatever, dude. It doesn't freaking matter to me. But that stuff, I wonder if she just like reads the description. You know,
got a notepad under the desk.
She got me, man. You know, yeah. That's hilarious, dude.
You're a funny, like the guy, you're like going to say funny, but then he like nods his head. You're a funny, angry person. Yep. You, you're helpful. You're not helpful. You're sort of helpful. Yep. Helpful.
Yep. Bro, for sure, man. For sure. Well, so what was your next stop after New Orleans?
New Orleans. Well, before, I say New Orleans, but everyone said New Orleans. So New I trained myself. I'm like, all right, I'll start saying New Orleans, even though I like New Orleans. Side note, if you're ever there, there's this food, it's called gumbo, and it's my absolute like favorite. It's amazing.
Okay, this is funny to me because I guess you're East Coast, so it makes sense, but you just said there's this food called gumbo as if I wasn't supposed to know. So no, but it's interesting to me. So I guess there is a gap here, like people in your area don't experience gumbo.
I found out there's a shop in Hartford that has gumbo, and I don't believe it's like gonna be the same until I try it, but I never heard of it until New Orleans.
Holy crap, dude, that's insane, man. That's like it's like one of the staples, dude.
Oh my god, that's so like amazing. Like, dude, I could eat gallons of it every day.
Really? Yeah, it's pretty freaking good. And I think everyone has their own spin on it. So, you know, gumbo is one of those things that's like every family might do it a little bit differently because, you know, you're making your own broth from whatever you have, you know. That's where it originated, because it's like a I don't want to say, maybe like a poor man's food, I guess. Like, so essentially you're making whatever you can into a broth and then boom, putting whatever you have into it, you know what I mean? Now, of course, it's grown to be like, okay, well, we got, you know, crawfish in there, we got shrimp in there, we got freaking a dooley sausage in there, we got everything, man. This is amazing. And that's, you know, that's what it's grown to, and it's freaking good. But it's kind of like I think Italians have something like that, not pasta, but like something that's just like every family does it differently.
Oh, yeah. When I got back and talked about it, my the Italian side of my family was saying, oh, that's basically blank. Like, I forget the word, not scudale, or like, I forget what the word is.
Right. So they have their own thing, their own dish that they just make whatever they have in the kitchen out of it, you know, or for they make it out of anything. There we go. They make it out of anything they have in the kitchen. Yeah. So anyway, whatever, dude, I get it though. Gumbo is freaking good, man. What'd you do after that? After New Orleans, you went to, was that it? Was it the last place?
Oh no. That was like the beginning. Like,
okay. Yeah. Heck yeah.
I guess a quick full on rundown. It was like DC, Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis, New Orleans, Tulsa, Austin, Big Ben, New Mexico, Arizona National Parks, California, a bunch there. Seattle, Washington, and then Utah, Montana, Wyoming, and like national parks and cities in there.
Holy cow, dude. You did that in 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man. That's insane, dude. It takes freaking 10 hours for me to get to Big Bend from here, and I'm in Texas, dude.
Big Bend was awesome.
Big Bend is one of the greats, and it's very, no one really talks about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me. No one really talks about how amazing. They think it's in Texas, so of course, you know, it's going to be tumbleweeds and flat, and it's going to suck. It's going to think. Not even close, dude. It's exact opposite, except it is dry. I'll say that. It is dry. It's a freaking desert, but what do you expect? But, dude, that's awesome, man. You went to Big Bend. That's cool. Last time we talked, I didn't really know what kind of person you were, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't know you, like, adventure. I really didn't know anything. I just knew that you, like, talk to guests, you know, expert guests, and that's about it, you know.
Yeah, and now you're seeing more of it. Like, oh yeah, I do like this stuff.
Heck here, yeah,
and
there. Dude, yeah.
And also, last time we had a 7-second delay, so it was harder to.
Yeah. For those of you listening, don't use Zoom when you don't have good internet at all. Not gonna work. Not gonna work at all.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But Texas was two things about like Big Bend. One. There's this tiny little one thing about going cross country is you meet so many random people. Like, I have a list of 50 people we just met that are all crazy, wacky characters.
Yeah.
But Big Ben, one of them was there's this like little hut in like a town outside of it. And there's this old lady selling quilts. Like, it's just a tiny shop of all quilts and blankets. she's got to be like 90 like years old, and she was just the sweetest lady. I bought a quilt from her, and like she has amazing deals. So like
in Big Bend?
Yeah, like right outside.
So were you in? Man, there's a town right outside of it. That's like an old town. Dang it, what's it called? It's like right on the other side. It's like you just leave the gates of Big Bend, and then boom, and there's like little huts and stuff there.
Yeah, it's coming from the north, not like the west side. It's coming like down the north, I think.
Right. Okay. What's it called? Tlingua?
I don't know. I literally don't know.
All right. Whatever. There's a town that's actually in a few westerns that's called Tlingua, and it's like
Shooting a movie there.
Of course they were, right? But it's like Old Tlingua or something like that, that where you go. There's a pretty freaking awesome Mexican food restaurant.
Is that the one where I went to a Mexican food restaurant there?
It's a hole in the wall, dude. There's like four tables in it, so it's not that big.
I don't know if it's the same one. The one I went to, was there there was a picture on the wall, like a painting, and it has like three people. One guy has like a wolf hat on. Is it that place?
Oh, was that like, were there burgers and stuff there?
Yeah.
I've been there. Was there live music at the time?
Yeah, I didn't hear the music, but there was like a band set.
There was like a stage at the back, right?
Yeah, and then there's like a staircase that goes up.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's not the place I was talking about. But that is another. That's like the main place everyone goes, right? Which I'm not saying anything by that. That's actually really good. I had a freaking awesome burger there. So, but now this Mexican joint's like freaking tiny. Like it's like a little swing door that just like barely hanging on. You know, it's you walk in and it's like four tables and it's actually really freaking good food, but probably just one family runs it. So
that's the stuff every town we'd look at, we wanted to find those hole in the wall little shops, right? And like those, well, like that's one I wish we had.
Well, luckily, okay, I'll say that, but luckily for you, you weren't in a spot where the tourist location is bad. Like that, that spot is honestly pretty cool. And if you do catch it when there's a live music going on, like it's usually just some random dude in a guitar and he's like singing some song that you don't even know, but it sounds freaking good. You know, it's not just like mainstream cover bands or whatever. Someone plays there. So I don't know, dude, that whole spot's awesome. I've been like five times and we usually camp in our cars or, you know, backpack, cause I'm into backpacking. So we'll just go out into Big Bend and, you know, you're in 800,000 acres. You know what I mean? So you just do whatever the heck you want. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it was cool, really cool. Like that's probably that's definitely a top five national park of what I saw. And also I camped there right next to a cemetery, so found that a bit eerie. So
yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so that's where the camp was like located, like all the shop or the, I guess Airbnb, whatever, trailer park. I don't know what you call it. But the thing about Big Bend.
Oh, that's where you were. The trailer park area. It's all Airbnb, but it's like all set up like a trailer park.
Yeah, there's like there's a shop where you can get like milk or food or whatever.
Yeah, and dude, then yes, the I know exactly. Yeah. That is Turling would do. That's definitely the place. That's freaking cool, man. I didn't know they like Airbnb'd all of that. I thought there was like little huts that the national park owned. I thought, but I guess not.
Yeah, they had like trailers set up, and then we had the campground, which like was next to the cemetery, which why I said that part.
Right. Yeah. I actually do know what you're talking about now. Interesting, man. Did you get to go to Yosemite or nah?
Yosemite was wicked. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Did you camp there at all or nah?
Not Yosemite. We drove in and then Airbnb'd right outside it.
If you would have tried to camp, I wonder if it would have been booked up. I don't know. Cause like I don't know, man. Cause like COVID, I think kind of changed that type of stuff. Like, did you?
Oh yeah. That was one of Yosemite, Glacier, and I forget the third one, but you have to order your tickets like 3 weeks in advance because of COVID.
Yeah.
And that one, we pulled up in the car and I talked to the lady and she let us through. So like, that's how that worked. But yeah, like that was one you have to get 3 weeks in advance.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, man, Yosemite, honestly, even before COVID, even before any of this, the years have gone by. Yosemite is always like almost like the most traveled national park in the US. I don't know if it is. So I'm not claiming anything by saying that, but it's always booked up and you have to book, like you'll book even, you know, months, even a year in advance to get a spot to camp. I know that. Now, as far as driving through, I don't know, man. I've never gotten to go. That's the national park that I just like, I really want to hit, you know?
You have to, because when I started the trip, the three that came to my mind, the three big ones were Glacier is my favorite, but that wasn't one of the big three. Grand Canyon's the big one, Yosemite and Yellowstone.
Right.
And yeah, Yosemite and Grand Canyon definitely live up to it. Yellowstone, maybe I caught it at a bad time.
Okay, hold on a second. That's a hot take, dude. Grand Canyon lives up to its hype.
Yeah. You didn't like it?
No. Hold on. I love nature. I love all of it. It's amazing. Grand Canyon is absolutely fantastic. But I don't know if it lived up to the hype. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of hype surrounding it, bro. Yeah, I know. It is crazy. It's a sight to behold for sure. Did you go to the Hoover Dam at all?
I don't think so, no.
I honestly like kind of got my breath taken away by looking at Hoover Dam versus Grand Canyon. So that's why
Hoover Dam again.
It's like Nevada, so it's like south of Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
So Grand Canyon, let me try to put this in perspective. Grand Canyon's here. And Hoover Dam is probably like right here somewhere.
Okay.
I believe if I'm looking at a map right, I believe it should be right on your screen. I don't know. I'm trying to put it in the right perspective for you. Cause it's like, yeah, anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, dude, that's interesting. That's a hot take for sure. Glacier, I've never been to either.
Glacier, I heard about it here and there, but I didn't realize know about it until I got closer or whatnot. Like it was one of those other, I had a list of like a bunch I wanted to see that was on the list. But man, Glacier is my absolute favorite. That one is just the water is it's the fourth cleanest lake in the world according to like a website. And the way this guy explained it to me is the water comes from the glaciers. Plus, it's the lake surrounded by five mountains that all filter it.
Yep.
So that compared with how green like the whole other area of it was, like how green the trees are and the cloud, like that's just my favorite by far.
Yeah. So there's a lot of places like that in like the mountainous areas, right? So like if you go to Washington, I lived in Washington for almost 2 years, Washington State. And that's always the story. So like the lakes in the summer are just like the cleanest, clearest water you're ever going to see because it was always the snow ridden mountains that would melt, you know, and all the ice would melt and then it would just come right downstream and then get filtered out by all the rock and everything else. And boom. Here we are. That's awesome. That water is amazing. So I can see how that would be pretty cool.
Washington, it was amazing. Like also, wait, side note too, like the water, my iPhone camera would take pictures and you can still see the bottom of the like lake when it's like 20 feet out and like 6 feet deep. Like through
what kind
my
of iPhone do you have?
XR.
Oh, wow.
So like decent, but it's not one like the new iPhone. Like,
sure. No, sure. Yeah. But they still take freaking quality photos, man. That's crazy, man. That's pretty intense.
In Washington, I stayed in Seattle for three nights, but I really wanted to see the rainforest because you have the only one in America. And I'm upset because it's just too far away.
The Olympic rainforest, right? That's the one. Yeah. I've been to it. It's cool. You can't imagine it. Like you get up there and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a toucan. Like that's not how that works. Right. That's always what I picture in my head. When you think of rainforest, you think of there's little monkeys going along the trees and there's iguanas right here and you know, toucans, there's like all this vibrant life happening, you know, that's not necessarily what's going on. It is definitely cool because everything is insanely green. Like you can see a nice lawn and you're like, oh, that's pretty green. Now this is like deep, deep, deep green. And everything is that like the moss on the trees and all that stuff. And it's like just constant wetness. So hiking it is okay. I'm not really a huge fan of hiking when it's like crazy wet, but you know, whatever, dude, it's cool though. I would say you should go at some point.
Yeah, definitely want at some point. Seattle is a beautiful city. Like that's what I'd move to if it didn't rain 10 months out of the year.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask this though. You were in Seattle. What time frame were you in Seattle?
I was end of July. So actually when I went, it was like cloudy, sunny, not rainy.
Yeah.
So I got a good
how
time.
What I want to ask though is how was the actual city? Like I'm talking about like homeless people or smells or any of that stuff. How was that?
That's why I like Seattle. Like it was a very well, like like I saw a bunch of cities, so each one has its bad parts. Like Los Angeles, wicked homeless issue. Like, wow.
Dude, oh man. I actually want to go see it myself. I've just seen people like recording and all that crap. I want to go actually see it. I've heard a lot.
It's yeah, like that one's really bad. But so it has that. And then like each city has its problem, and then there are like good ones. Seattle was one where just the only problem was that rain all the time. Like, of course, you're going to have like little city things here and there, but it's just a well put together city. It had a bunch of good shops here and there. It had a bunch of like different restaurants. Like, it was vibrant. It had its sections. It was a good city. If it wasn't for the rain, I'd probably move there.
Yeah. It's the rain is interesting too, because it's not even really like rain, you know, it's like it's a mist, you know, it's like, you know, the ground's wet, the clouds gray, and everything's wet, and you just don't know why. You know, like, how is everything wet?
Yeah,
it's all like freaking misting.
Literally. So that's why, like, it's just could get miserable like day after day being like that.
Yeah, I moved away because I got depressed. So.
Yeah, I bet. And there's actually a fun, not a fact about that, but I'm not gonna say it because it's kind of a sad one. But about like Seattle and the problem they're facing, but San Francisco apparently has a fog. So the way Seattle has rain, San Francisco has fog that comes like almost daily and comes for like a few hours. So that was something I never even knew existed.
Yeah. This is probably the first time I'm hearing about it. So was it like fog enters at like a certain time in the afternoon, or?
I don't even, yeah, just like each day, or like maybe not every day, but yeah, just randomly, I was on top of a hill looking out of Seattle, and then you see the fog come, and it covers the city for a few hours, and then after that, it goes away.
That's so weird, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have a nickname. I want to say it's Dave or something, but like they nicknamed it as an Instagram page too.
Ooh, the fog?
Yeah, it's
the
like Dave
fog
the
has
fog
an Instagram.
Yeah.
What? Dude, yeah. This is the I don't know, the age of giving inanimate objects Instagrams, dude. Like every single thing has an Instagram. It's insane.
Yeah. Crazy, man. Like animals are more common, but Joe Rogan, I saw he has an Instagram for his dog that has like 500,000 followers.
Dude, it's Joe Rogan, dude. You can't be like, it's because of his dog. It has literally nothing to do with his dog. It has to do with his freaking fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the trickle down effect, really. That's all that is. That's funny though. And I have seen other Instagram pages like cats and stuff. Well, mainly cats that just get wild, wild amount of freaking followers and watchers and whatever. You know what I mean? I mean,
oh yeah,
cats are fun to watch, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know? It's that classic cliche of like go on YouTube and look up cat videos,
bro. Classic cliche. It's hilarious. We have to say classic now, dude. That was like we were growing. That was new, man. That was like the internet. That was, oh my gosh, we found this internet thing, and now we can share cat videos, and that's now classic. Oh my gosh, man, that makes me feel old, you know.
But time's changing.
So how was Austin, dude? What'd you think?
Austin was, so what is it, Sixth Street? It's called.
Yeah, yeah.
That was okay. It was cool. Like the. Oh, New Orleans, the street was called Bourbon Street. That's the one that I was trying to remember. But Austin, 6th Street was cool. But then I went to 6th East Street, I think it's called. And I guess like the other end of it. And there's this piano bar there that was just absolutely like incredible. Like this band's, one guy's amazing on the piano. You know the song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia?
Yeah.
So this guy has a the other thing like a violin, fiddle. He's got the fiddle out.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like just going insane. Like he's standing up, he's up on the piano table.
Yeah.
The piano playing it. Everybody in the bar is going crazy. Like that was like one of those big experiences that like stuck with me.
That's pretty cool, man. Was it Rainy Street by chance or 6th E? Because I've
like
never
6th East Street.
Interesting. I wonder if it's just further down 6th. I will go to Rainy Street sometimes too, and there's like other places to go that are more less college vibey, I guess, in a way. You know what I mean? Like 6th Street's always that place you go and quote unquote party or whatever. And after a while, I don't know, man. I'm not into it. But I also know Austin is kind of I think Austin will be the new San Francisco in maybe 8 years.
I could see that. Austin was a tie for my top four favorites. Because Austin, like, I said every city has its downfall or the problem. Austin, the problem is it's, like, early in the process. Like, if you give it time and it continues the way it's going, yes. But still, like, early in that development stage.
Right. And the interesting thing is that I would say that the opposite of why you would agree. So I think that it is early in the development stage. And it can get better in a way, but I think it'll also get worse in a lot of ways as well. Right. So what you'll be seeing is like, unless the mayor again changes his ideas or whatever, you'll see a move of homeless population similar to Los Angeles now, into that area. And it may just get even worse and worse or whatever. I don't know. I just remember I'd go to Sixth Street and it was awesome and great and whatever. And you wouldn't really see that much going on. You'd see the normal, you know, the normal people that are just kind of hanging out and you'd be like, nah, you know, no money or whatever, and walk by them or whatever. Now it's like I'd be done with Sixth Street walking back and I'm literally like walking over people, like over homeless people to get to wherever I'm going. That's, I don't know. That's crazy to me, I guess, but,
I can see that building up. That was LA. Like,
right. Right. Absolutely. That's, yeah. And that's interesting, you know, and there's something to be said about, you know, regulating that and not regulating that, you know, of course. Yeah.
Cause it's weird. Like, I hate when like cities will put like those spikes on like benches or something. So like homeless people can't sleep. Cause
right.
Well, like that just is very immoral, but like, yeah, that's very immoral. Like there's gotta be a way to solve that crisis going on.
Well, here's the interesting thing I'll say is that most cities that do that have their own facilities for them. And sometimes what happens is like, I talk to paramedics and things like that. Like they have to go out and they make calls on these homeless people all the time. Right. Cause they're always calling about whatever. Oftentimes they either don't want the help or, you know, they just absolutely curse them out and they're like, get out of here kind of thing. Or flip side is they'll say, okay, well, let's take you over to the homeless shelter. And they also completely refuse that. So at some point you're wondering what their thought process is or if they have a mental disability and you need to help them out that way.
This is a topic I don't know a lot on, so I can't like speak too much, but I heard a common theme is mental issues with like a lot of homeless people.
For sure. Yeah. And that's where I'm getting at is it ends up being normally it's that. And so then you're thinking, you know, is it immoral to force somebody into a shelter or force somebody into something like that? You know?
Yeah. Like force help on.
Right. Exactly.
It's that meme. If you've ever seen it where we're here to help. Don't resist.
Don't resist. Yeah. And it turns out it's like the government police. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But let's turn it into politics. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway,
Afghanistan,
dude. Yeah. So see, you know about that, yeah, man, right?
No, that's another topic that I've heard, but I don't know. Like, no, I just know it's a whole cluster. Can't swear.
Everyone is, you know, an expert on all this crap. Apparently, you know what I mean. Yeah, Everyone's an expert, you know. And it is, and I actually appreciate what you're saying right now. That's good. I oftentimes on my podcast, like I'll say, like, you know, we're just talking about it. We're talking about the events that happened and what we've heard about it. And I'm not going to go any further as far as like, this is what's happening, you know, blah, blah, whatever. I'll say, hey, you know, my opinion is it might end up this way or that way or whatever. And that's about it, as far as we go. There's something to be said about that. Cause yeah, not everyone knows what the heck happened behind closed doors. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Actually yesterday I was going to record an episode with this journalist who like was in Afghanistan and he, spent a lot of time covering that issue. So I was like, oh, I'll have him on the show. Talk about it's a good topic. His kid got COVID yesterday. So he said, oh, sorry, can we redirect it? So I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. So that's going to be put off. But
that would be a intense episode, dude. And you know, I know you don't like to stay, you know, get into politics, but, you know, you'd be diving in.
Yeah, I don't avoid it. I don't know. It's always that topic. Like, I'll say whatever. I don't care. Like, I'll say whatever. I just, it's always that topic where people hear the word politics and they're like,
they're put off immediately. And that's, you know, that's something, that's the hardest thing about like selling my podcast in a way. Like, if you will, like I'm over here like, yeah, the Toasty Podcast, you know, controversial topics. That's how I used to say it. We talk about controversial topics, because then it's not automatic. Oh, I don't want any part of that. Then it's like, oh, I'll listen and see what happens. And I do try to like trickle in, you know, other stuff, not always politics. Like, I actually like talking about society, culture, you know, sociology, you know, whatever. I like talking about all that stuff. I love it. I'm so interested in the human mind and people, how people think and all that stuff. Dude, I love it. I absolutely love it. And that's originally why I started the podcast in the first place. And I was going to interview people and just talk to people about whatever the heck they wanted to talk about. And it was going to be topic lists, I guess, you know, Joe Rogan style, if you will, or whatever, you know what I mean? But Matt came up, he's a political science major, and he's like, let's do some politics, you know? And I won't say he took that over. He kind of instilled me with this mission to be like, wait a second, people need to know information, like straight information. They don't need to know memes and all this crap they see, you know, and they can decide for themselves what the heck they want. That's fine. I don't care about that. But that's where I wanted to go with it, you know, and there's just a lot less of that. Wherever it is, there's a lot less of that, you know, as far as political like levels or whatever, you know. At the local level, though, that's where it matters. So anyway, yeah, whatever.
That's right,
just to, yeah, just to move off from that crap. Ugh. What have you been doing the last year and a half, dude?
A year and a half, there was the going cross country. It got a new job, which is why I'm here on this radio station. It and just like continuing the show, I guess.
Yeah, so like, you moved from Connecticut?
Yeah.
Like completely moved or just stations?
I completely moved for time, yeah.
Holy cow, dude.
Well, yeah, for like the year, and then I guess 2 years, because basically I'm a research assistant, so I like do research for 2 years. So I'm like getting that while I'm also getting a master's degree. So like when the school year's off, then I guess I moved back to Connecticut. But basically, yeah, for the next 2 years, the majority of my time is in Rhode Island.
What are you going to get a master's in?
Mechanical engineering.
Oh, sick. Yeah. I think you actually, you know what? I actually remember you talking to me about that in the last podcast. And then like, what is the research for?
Yeah, I can't talk too much because it's like government stuff and confidential. Yeah. But it's a lot of like forces and stuff that would like relate to submarines.
That's interesting, dude. That's very interessante. You know, I would love to talk to you, you know, 20 years from now, whenever you can actually talk about it, it'd be cool.
Yeah. I saw something pretty cool today, but yeah, it's too early that I don't want to risk anything.
No, I totally get it. I wonder, they probably give you like an NDA and all that crap too, huh?
There's a few forms.
Yeah. Do you know what level of like, you work for the government? Is it like so I have a few friends that work for
Lockheed. University and government, like university that then is with the government kind of.
Because
it's not direct government.
Oh, because the university is essentially getting money from the government for the research.
Yeah.
Because most universities do that. I hope that doesn't like, you know, sway how they do the whatever, it doesn't matter. I would say like I have a few friends that work for Lockheed and they have like, you know, freaking up their
security. Oh, them, yeah, they really like, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. They'll just be like, nah, I don't really talk about anything that I work on at all, period. What do you do?
They're seeing UFOs and stuff, and it's like, I can't talk.
Yeah, dude, you never know. But that's not. So one thing they can say is something that doesn't exist, right? They don't have to say like, you know, we work on this or that. They can say, well, that's definitely not real or whatever, if you talk to them, you know what I mean? So whenever I ask them about Tic Tac and all that stuff, it's like, well, you will be surprised at what it actually is. And that's the answers I get. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, cool. I did a UFO episode, man, right when the UAPTF document came out. And I thought the consensus was that like, they didn't know what they were. Like, didn't they release that the government doesn't know what a lot of these UFOs are?
Yeah, the consensus that they gave us after they did their investigation on it was that, you know, we still can't determine what these things are. That is, you're right. You're totally right. Now, here is our, and I say our, me and Maddie B, we came up with this little conclusion here. It's not a crazy, it's not that crazy. It is a conspiracy in a way, but it's not like way out there. It's actually reasonable because this has happened before in the past with military. Our idea is that there, it's our technology, specifically the Navy's, because if you see, the Navy is always the constant branch of military that's producing these videos and all that crap. And we don't necessarily want to tell other countries that it is what it is, right? We don't want to tell them, you know, it's aliens or it's our technology or whatever. More specifically, there are IR technologies and radar technologies that will shut off. So from the aircraft, they'll shut off the other aircraft that's like seeing them. They'll shut off their radar detection or whatever, IR detection. That's normal. That's been around forever. We know that exists. And so doing something with that technology in order to cause something to look like it's going straight up in the air, crazy fast, or going from zero to 10,000 miles an hour might be possible. And it would just be an illusion to the aircraft operator, right? That's one option. The other option is just that it is our military, and we are trying to keep China and Russia from thinking about it like that. And we come out with it with these videos basically to show them like, hey, look what we have. And China and Russia secretly know, oh, crap, that's their technology. But they're not going to come out to the public and say, yeah, we can do this. You know, they're not going to do that.
Why not?
Because it would cause panic. See, so like today, literally today, the US and the UK and Australia all decided they're going to sign a military agreement almost to say against China. So basically we signed a deal, not a deal, but we're basically saying we're all allies against a common enemy. But when you say that to the public, what does that do? What does that make you think?
That enemy is a bit of a threat when you got team up.
Oh, wow. And we thought, like, I thought the general consensus was China's not a threat and we're good. We're chill. We're all friends here. Right. Even though we see all this stuff about it, you know, whatever. So that type of thing right there is the same idea as me going out and saying, okay, yeah, this is our stuff. We're bad. We're awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And then China and Russia being like, oh crap, we need to do something about it. So there's a lot of nuances to that, but I think that's what they actually are doing. They're just like keeping it from us so that we don't have to worry about it. You know, think about the nuclear bomb. Like no one knew that existed until it blew up. You know what I'm saying? Like no one, like that was literally what I'm talking about. That project was kept under wraps for sure. And now as far as Bob Lazar and like him being the guy that researched all of that and doing it, I can't say much. Because I'm still on the fence about that. So whether or not this stuff that we're dealing with, the Tic Tac and these videos and whatever, actually came from another crazy alien technology, that I can't say for sure. But the stuff we're actually seeing on video, I'm fairly certain that that is what it is. It's just our military technology.
Gotcha. My that episode I did with the guest had a very different, well, for some background, he's that UFO podcast is called. He was like 11th place for science for like a month. But his idea is that these are entities, but they're fourth or fifth dimensional, and they sort of reappear. Like he says in a way that like makes sense, like not as crazy.
I'm there. Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, but like so it's not that they're even moving. It's that they're like time traveling quotation marks from this other dimension. And like, that's what makes them move in all these weird directions. And then the Bob Lazar, how they have the anti-gravity inside, but like that was his main theme.
Right. And it's like the dark matter surrounding it. And actually these theories are being proven right. So like the theory that we can actually do it yet, but if you could, harness dark matter to do that type of thing. It is a possible, it's a possibility, you know?
Yeah.
Like it exists, right? We just figured out that a wormhole type situation exists, you know? If you watch Interstellar, like the only thing that really is something that we haven't proven at all is like the very end, the very, very end when he's like falling through space and it was technically like a wormhole. We don't know what that, or black hole, whatever. We have no idea what that looks like. So they're literally just throwing stuff out there. And the next thing you know, he's looking through a bookcase, you know, to his child. And you're like, where the heck did this come from? That's the part that's like crazy fictional. The rest of it is like theory that has been proven. It's insane. All this stuff is crazy. And I agree. Like, I'm like into it. I'm like, man, that's crazy. You know, dark matter. Wow. You know, you can bend space time with dark matter. And you, maybe you can. If we could do that, the way we're figuring it out is not by aliens. The way they figured out the dark matter situation was some random site in, I think it was Texas or Florida, some station.
SNO Lab.
SNO Lab?
Yeah.
Had like this radar or whatever that.
Yeah. One of their workers was on my show the other day. Yeah. Like they're deep underground there. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's freaking sweet, man. But is that based on alien technology, or is it based on the fact that they're looking into space and figuring stuff out?
Maybe alien. I don't know.
You don't know, right? You don't know. You don't know.
I was told,
for the most part, you're told, hey, no, we are able to use powers of deduction, and we have our technology to look into space, and we can find, and we have equipment that does it, and we can find out these things. And that's, for the most part, what I'm getting. The general consensus is that. And so when it comes to, oh, there's dark matter and we can bend space time, well, we figured that stuff out. And dark matter exists. It exists. You know, that's something that's there. So it's not an alien thing. So that would kind of disprove that. But also the fifth dimensional thing. That's a good, if it is what it is, that's a good, I don't know what you want to call that, narrative. I hate saying narrative because they automatically think I'm saying that it's false.
Yeah.
But narrative simply just means that is what he says, right? So, have you ever seen Cloverfield?
The original one?
No, there was another one that was they're in a
ship.
When
they're in the basement?
They're in a
ship. Oh, no, that's the ship one. Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's not called Cloverfield. It's called something else. But it's based on that stuff. And it's a paradox almost, like where, you know, two different timeline type stuff. You watched Rick and Morty at all?
Oh, yeah. Just finished that season.
You did? Dude, that's awesome. But yeah, there's two different timelines. And like, if it gets mixed up, you know, this is gory. And so I won't necessarily say on the radio, but people are just, you know, they die, whatever. But they're getting mixed up in timelines and stuff like that. And so from that perspective, what this guy is saying off of, what did you say it was? Alien pod? Pod alien?
Oh, that UFO podcast.
That UFO podcast?
Yeah.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, it's called that one. Yeah, that UFO podcast. Yeah, it's funny, man.
That UFO podcast, you know, that's what he's talking about.
Asking me, like, which one? That one.
Yeah.
Which one?
No, yeah. Which one?
That one.
Like, what's the title, bro? No, but he's talking about that paradox where you can just come from another time zone, timeline, basically. Imagining that is insane. Like, imagine you're sitting down in this chair right now, but there's literally another version of you in a separate timeline. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
One of those wild thoughts I have is like, so like light travels at the speed of light. So if you're far away, like the stars you look at in the sky could already have exploded. We're only just seeing them now because it's been 3 billion years or whatever that light traveled.
Yeah.
So in a way, if you could get a microscope or a telescope from super far away right now, you could see your whole life, like from birth to where you are now. If you're far away, if you're 30 years old and you're 30 light years away, you'll see yourself when you were like 1 month old. But then if you're a light year closer, you'll see yourself a year old. And like, so your whole life,
so
it's not possible.
Wow. What if that was, the only thing keeping us from that is actually traveling fast enough through that, you know,
and then having that telescope that could see that.
I feel like the telescope would do it. We could pretty much invent that or have that, or maybe we already do. I don't know. But the fact of getting to that point, like, oh, let's travel 30 light years away real quick so I can see myself. That dude, that could be time travel. You know, you could be talking about time travel, but
yeah, you'll see your whole life, like every event, like right now at this moment, you would see it.
Right. Wow. And then you'd be like, how can I get back there? You know, yeah. I don't know. That's crazy.
Stop.
Well, what if that's what?
Don't ask her out.
Don't ask her. Say it a different way. Anyway, what if that's like what's happening in Interstellar at the end, you know, whenever he sees himself in the past?
Yeah.
Because he did go, like, he was on planets that were slower than Earth. So he was like there for 10 minutes and it was like 7 years, or 7 minutes and it was 7 years or whatever.
Yeah.
You've seen that movie, right?
Yeah. And fun fact, during that scene, there's a small ticking in the background, and that's supposed to be like a day every time you hear that tick or something.
Yeah. 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 I did notice they put a clock on that scene, and I was like, I didn't know it meant that. I didn't know like every tick was it. That's cool. I didn't know that, but I was like, they're definitely, that is so interesting, dude. The music's amazing in that movie. Like,
amazing movie.
My gosh, that movie is one of the greats for sure. One of the greats.
They got to make another one. I like when movies like break the ground or like go for those Hail Marys versus regular common movies.
Well, you're talking about literally the same people that made Inception, right?
Yeah, that's the only movie that popped in my head.
So you're literally, that's their thing, right? Who makes that movie? Steven Spielberg? It's not
maybe
him. It's not him. I can't finish this without knowing. If you guys are listening, sorry for the dead air. I'm looking up Interstellar, looking up to see who it was. Who was directed by Christopher Nolan?
No, I'm kidding. Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So Christopher Nolan, dude, he always, that's his type of movie, right? Like, that's what he does. He breaks ground. Every movie he does is just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, he's got talent. I got Bench's biography, autobiography.
America's You've Got Talent. Yeah. I would say, yeah, you're right, dude. Going back to this traveling story, though, you know, you going around America or whatever. Did you hear about, like, there's this story that's like kind of broke the news recently with a van lifer that is like missing?
What?
Yeah, a van lifer like missing, right? So she went with her boyfriend. And this is an anecdotal story. It has nothing to do with anything really. It just sucks. But the interesting thing is, like, so have you ever heard of true crime? You've heard of true crime podcasts, right?
Yeah.
This is a story that's going to end up on a true crime podcast. I guarantee it, because it's already building and it's already like, whoa, what's going on here? She goes out, she has a boyfriend. So she moved from DC, I think it was, somewhere up the East Coast, to Florida to live with her boyfriend. They're together for like 4 years total, lives with them for like two. They get a transit van and they peace out. They go up to meet their families her family first, and then they peace out. Right.
Yeah.
And, I think they were headed for Yellowstone, or they're leaving Yellowstone. And she calls her mom and all that crap, whatever. This is like August 25th or something like that. This has just now happened. Okay. Well, okay. The interesting thing here is that, you know, she's reported missing and the boyfriend is back in Florida, dude. Like, why is he back in Florida? And he doesn't want to talk to authorities, and he got a lawyer immediately, and they found the van. So like, he left the van. It's pretty obvious to me. I mean, if I'm looking at all the evidence, I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? You know, have you ever seen Dexter? But
I need to, but no.
You haven't seen Dexter, dude? Oh man, that's like apparently it's a cult classic. I don't know. They're making another season, which is, I don't know if that's right, but whatever. Anyway, this is going to end up on a true crime podcast because, you know, it's pretty obvious to me. I think he did it, but this is all speculation. They found the van, and they're like, stop looking for the van, guys. We found the van. We need to look for her now. It's a very sad story, and it happened recently. But, you know, that's just going to say, like, you, first of all, I totally would never live with a boyfriend or girlfriend. I would never do that because I've done that before and it sucks. Second of all, you never know. You literally never know, like, anyone around you, dude. Especially right now, people are so emotional about stuff, and there's a lot of pent up energy. So imagine, you know, they're locked down for a year year and a half together, first of all, which would drive people insane, probably, you know.
No matter who you're with,
No matter who you're with, you just, it's just like, wow, what the heck? I can't get away from this person. Everyone needs their own space, you know? And then you're like, okay, let's break out and let's go for a transit drive, you know, van drive or whatever. And boom, that's just a story. Yeah. It's just a story waiting to happen, pretty much.
Wow. I haven't heard of that one, but that reminds me of on Reddit. There's a post called like, what are the eeriest pictures in human history?
Oh, I okay. Wow. Yeah. I don't know if I would ever go there, but yeah.
I looked at it like one of the top comments was it's this picture of this woman at the edge of a cliff, and she's like looking out, and like it's just like a picture of her. And then the comment is, this picture was taken by her boyfriend seconds before he pushed her over that cliff.
What?
Yeah, like
how do they know?
Because it was in like the news, like it was showing up.
They
like
know. They know. Like he committed or he confessed. Where
he was like arrested. He was charged. And you're just like looking at this picture where like in that moment, it's all peaceful and fine. But it's like it just things like that blow my mind.
It does blow your mind. And you don't know that, you know, makes you think, you know, you don't know what's on someone's mind. You don't know what they think inside. You know, you have no idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like in her mind, she's looking out like, look at this amazing view or something. And who knows what's going through that guy's mind.
He's taking a picture thinking this is amazing, but he's thinking this is amazing. And sadly, this is what he's, because I'm about to kill her. Like, it's crazy to me. How can you have that? Like, that's like, have you ever seen Mindhunter? The show on Netflix? Dude, also a good show. It's like the origins of the FBI creating behavioral psychology on like serial killers and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But that's crazy to me. They're normal human beings and they think normally, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like psychopaths or like these killers?
Yeah, they're sociopaths. They think their thoughts are normal or their way of being is normal. Like that's normal to them, right?
Yeah.
So when you tell them, hey, you know, you need help or you have a problem, they're going to be like, you're an idiot. I'm fine. Yeah.
No, there's wicked. Yeah. Like it's, then there's like a case where this guy's in prison and he's in like a, psychiatric ward. And it's a good TED talk, actually. I highly recommend it. It's like called The Guy Who Like Meets the Psychopath or Meeting a Psychopath. I forget what it is. But yeah, he goes to the prison. He meets this guy who's, I messed up again. He goes to this psychic ward and the guy's completely normal. Like he has a conversation with him. He's fluent. He's understanding. He tells the journalist, I shouldn't be here. They've had me locked up here. I'm completely fine. I'm not insane like the other people around me. And then when the journalist talks to the locals or the people who work there, the story was he did some like crazy crime and then he just acted insane. And then once he was in the insane asylum, he was kept there because even though he started saying, no, I was just faking it, I was acting it, he was kept there because only a psychopath would do something as crazy like that. And like then like he's asked these questions and he checks off every mark because like he doesn't have empathy, he doesn't care about this, he doesn't like all that stuff, and it sort of dives into his mind.
Wow, that's insane, dude.
Yeah, I heard it a while ago. But like, that's the idea of it.
Yeah, it's the really idea is one. Like you have no emotion, right? That's crazy, man.
Yeah, but there's like again, there's a psychopaths make up like a few percent of the population. I forget what it is, and a lot of them are still good people. Like, a lot of them do like, well, it's a weird thing to. I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not gonna say much on it, but. I have an understanding that a lot of people know like how they should act and they act like, well, I should be polite, even though I don't have that same emotion as other people.
Well, it's like you're learning an act, you're learning a skill. Yeah. I can't say that for sure. I'm not a psychopath, but I can say that it seems like when they realize, oh, the people around me are acting this certain way and I'm not, it either will make them freak out or make them learn that. And that's why they need the help. They need the help to like calm themselves down and be like, okay, how do I act polite? Or how do I do the other skills? You know what I mean? It's literally social skills, but you're having to train them or teach them to do that. And essentially that ends up being them like putting that into practice every time instead of it being just an eight thing. Like human nature for us is we already know the wrong and the right almost. Would you say you're born with the idea knowing that if you take something from somebody as a little baby, you know, well, not a baby, but like maybe, well, I don't know, 4 years old.
Well, I mean, I think so. But at the same time, there's that picture in the mind where like, oh, a kid takes the other kid's toy and then the parent has to come and say, no, we don't do that. And the kid's like, no, but I want the toy. So I guess you kind of taught it.
Interesting. Yeah, you are. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. It's a skill you're taught, and they constantly fight themselves over that, I guess. You know, it's crazy.
But an interesting fact, I had to Google to make sure. So the 1% of the general population is psychopaths, but CEOs, 4 to 12% of CEOs are psychopaths.
Psychopaths or sociopaths?
Psychopaths. Psychopath is sociopath, but like another level, I'm pretty sure.
Right. It's like an upgrade almost.
Yeah.
Downgrade if you look at it that way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, some psychologist is like listening to us like, oh, they're so wrong right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But hey, you know what? Reach out. Let us know. We're just having commentary, I guess. You know what I mean?
But yeah, like that's why, because like being a CEO or being at the top, the reason like a lot of them are psychopaths is because business is very like, it's not, it's like immoral. It doesn't have morals to it. So like they're more willing to push people down and just focus on themselves and building it.
Well,
so
their business grows. It's an objective thing, right? Fiscally, you have to be objective if you want to make money, right? So
yeah.
So in their mind, they're being very, very, very objective, almost to the point where they hurt people's feelings. Like look at Steve Jobs, right?
Yeah. Like what he did with the friend leaving him behind.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy, man. And you have to think like, man, why would you ever do that? Man.
Oh, wait, no, I was thinking of the other guy. I was thinking of Zuckerberg. So, yeah, Steve say, Jobs. No, Steve Jobs was chill.
But he was definitely on a mission, and he had his objective behavior fiscally. So, you know, he left his boy behind, you know, he didn't really hang out with his family a lot, you know, that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Until later.
And he took
on,
acid
guess,
so. That gave him the idea of Apple.
Yeah, right, apparently. But besides all that, man, he was like, got to do it, you know, make it happen. And I that is definitely like sociopathic behavior, and I guess psychopathic behavior too. I don't know. That's crazy, man.
It's a weird thing, but
maybe we should all be psychopaths, man. We'll be richer, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, the economy.
Right, yeah.
But all right, I think it's about time to wrap up on mine. It's starting to get late. I got to drive back.
Let's do it, man. No, I get it, dude. You could probably have a long drive, huh? Or do you live close or what?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
That's better than it was last time, man. It was like an hour, right?
Yeah, 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was insane, dude. And it was like cold there, right? When you were talking to me?
I don't know if I was in the studio. Oh, wait. Yeah. That was, I was going. So, yeah. That was a good half hour.
It was cold where we were too. I was like shaking, but it wasn't even close to as cold as it was there, and we're like, yeah, we're cold, and it was like 40 and you're like, what the heck, dude? Of course it was like 7 second delays, right? So like you're talking to Joe Biden, you know. But
there's the political joke.
Boom, had to lay it down before we leave, bro.
Hey, we're wrapping it up. Nice. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, it was very nice talking to you again, dude. I love it, man. I love talking to you. It's great. I might actually end up getting a radio show. Why not, dude? That'd be cool.
Go
sick.
For it, yo.
But if you're ever in Texas, man, and you don't want to go to Austin, I totally understand, first of all. And second of all, I'm in DFW. Hit me up, dude. We'll hang out. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah, definitely. I should have hit you up during this trip, too. But next time.
Yeah, I could come down. It's like 3-4 hours maybe to Austin. So it's pretty easy to drive to me.
Sounds good.
Texas is whatever. All right, cool, man. Sweet.
All right. For the final wrap up for the people listening on the radio, this is a. Bill and I talked with Sky from the Toasty Podcast. You want to plug anything or like you say
really.
What it is versus what?
Oh, say what the Toasty Podcast is?
Yeah, like do you want to plug anything?
I mean, just you can find me on Google if you search it. That's about it, man. And then other than that, if you want to, go listen. But it is political, so keep that in mind.
Sounds good. And for people on the radio now, I'm Bill with the Way Podcast. This is not what my show typically is. Not that that's a bad thing.
No, do your thing,
for people listening, this is completely different than my typical genre. But maybe Wednesday at 9 o'clock every week out, you'll start hearing my show. Maybe not. Time is still getting figured out, but I will find a point. But the idea is that if you want to see the history and want to see the future too, go to podcasttheway.com or just go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's called The Way Podcast. But podcasttheway.com has all the information you need. So if you're interested, that's the spot to go. See the show. Excited to be on this radio station. And now I got to go. And peace out.
Boom. Stay toasty, guys. Toasty.